stripped from us long ago when they started stripping our property from us.
Right.
1910, we owned 15 million acres collectively, 8 million African Americans. In 2021, 43 million African Americans collectively only own 1.2 million acres.
Wow.
98% of our our land stolen from us.
Yeah.
We have to learn how to build that wealth back, and we're going to do it through speculation and investing.
I always tell people, to your point about black people and money, the Bible says the love of money is the root of all evil, not money itself. Don't get it twisted now.
Right.
The love of money is the root of all evil, not money. And it's worth remembering that. The Jay King Show will premiere this Saturday on KBLA Talk 1580 at 6 p.m. Check out Jay's show this Saturday at 6 p.m. And the following Saturday, it'll move to its regular time of 7 p.m. So 6 p.m. this Saturday. Don't miss the premiere of the Jay King Show here on KBLA Talk 1580. And then the next Saturday and every Saturday thereafter, it's regular time of 7 p.m. Jay King, look forward to hearing you on our station this weekend. Thank you for joining us. We're honored to have you, brother.
Thank you, sir.
All right.
I'm honored to be there.
Great pleasure. In the final hour of Tabish Mind today, Isaiah Washington's in the house and will be in studio here in a moment. I look forward to that conversation after news and traffic on KBLA Talk 1580.
KBLA 1580 Santa Monica.
I'm Mike Island, and here's the latest from the Black Information Network. The fight over voting rights may not be over. Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer made a last-minute move yesterday so the bill could be considered in the future. Republicans blocked it as expected, leaving Democrats 10 votes short to start debate. Arrests on the U.S.-Mexico border are reportedly at a record high. The Washington Post says over 1.7 million illegal immigrants were apprehended during the fiscal year that ended on September 30th. Over 200,000 migrants were taken into custody during July and August. Weekly jobless claims are down. The Labor Department reports 290,000 Americans filed first-time claims for unemployment benefits last week. That's 600,000 fewer than the previous week's revised total. And that's the latest. I'm Mike Island from your 24/7 news source, the Black Information Network, and BINnews.com.
Encino wreck as you travel in the valley. It's going to be Encino where we have a problem on the 101 East at Haskell. Trying to clear a crash from traffic lanes loaded up from Winnetka. Sylmar, troubles on the south side of the 5 approaching that 405. Carpool lane blocked with a collision. That tough drive as far back as the 14. North Hollywood trying to clear troubles on the 170 South as you get to the 101, 134. Wreck to the right side. Come away from Oxnard Street, the busy drive. Carson, troubles on that 405 North. North 405 as you approach the 110. A wreck in the clearing stages, but right around Avalon Boulevard is where it gets busy.
Help DEA keep our community safe and healthy by participating in National Prescription Drug Takeback Day, October 23rd. Find a collection site near you at DEATakeback.com. Do your part to lower overdose deaths and prevent drug misuse before it starts.
Mr. Vice President, I'm speaking. I'm speaking, okay?
Please.
Okay.
Ladies first, ladies first.
Dominique DePrima, host of First Things First, weekday mornings. There are plenty of good reasons to listen to KBLA Talk 1580, but let me give you a dozen more.
Let's get intimate. I'm Dr. Jashana Johnson.
She's Krista.
And she's Kiara.
And this is Donna Michi versus everybody.
I'm Nicole Franklin. Welcome to Before You Go.
I'm Malina Abdullah, and you're listening to Black Lives Matters. This is not a drill.
Welcome back to Areva Martin Out Loud.
This is Legal Lens with Angela Reddock-Wright.
I'm Cynthia Brooks, and you're listening to Urban Wellness Now.
It's The Backstory with Michelle Duffy.
Living in the Sweet Spot with Angelique Francis.
I'm Tasha. Welcome back to KBLA's Lyric Lounge.
Yo, yo, Lonnie Love and me, Angelique. Welcome to Cafe Mocha.
You heard this many brilliant black women hosting their own shows on talk radio. Never, 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 until now.
With the House,
reclaiming my time, reclaiming
matter of
my
fact,
time.
We've been shut out, but we persist. And if you're not tuning in, you're missing out.
You are no match for that black lady.
KBLA Talk 1580.
1580.
Black women have a lot to talk about.
Talk about. Talk about. Talk about.
Darkness no longer, a child is born. Mother shed tears of joy as baby tests his lungs. My daddy's not there where he ought to be. somewhere in Georgia, skinning and shooting craps on his knees. Another victim born out here in the hood, and based on statistics, it really ain't all good. Welfare takes the tab, and daddy can't sign, and it can't be seen. The family becomes a crime. The hunt is on, and brother, you're the prey. Serving time in jail, it just ain't the way. I'm living so hard, babe, that my hair's gray. We got to make a change. It's a brand new day.
A new world order, a brand new day.
It's a new
a
day.
Change of mind for the human race.
It's hour three of Tavis Smiley on KBLA Talk 1580. Our phone number 1-800-920-1580. 1-800-920-1580. It has been 25 years since Isaiah Washington played a gay character named Kyle in the Spike Lee film Get on the Bus. He was told privately and publicly by many that doing so would ruin his career. 10 years later, an incident on the set of Grey's Anatomy, on which he played Dr. Preston Burke, had Hollywood labeling him as homophobic. All these years later, I'm still not sure we know what really happened on the Grey's Anatomy set involving Isaiah Washington, but what we do know is that a lot more detail has come out since then about the toxic nature of working on that production. Ellen Pompeo has since bragged publicly about cussing out Denzel Washington on set one day when he directed an episode of the show. And the producer has said in a tell-all book that Patrick Dempsey gave castmates PTSD and was terrorizing on the set. Perhaps today Isaiah will shed some light on what really happened on that fateful day. His latest film project is called God's Not Dead, We the People, and I look forward to a captivating conversation with him in this hour. Before we get started in our conversation with Isaiah Washington, some sounds from Spike Lee's Get on the Bus.
I'm sorry I outed you like that. It's just whenever I think about you leaving me, I get a little panicked.
Well, I think you could have handled it a little bit better.
I don't want to let go, and I don't think you want me to let you go.
What I don't want is to talk about it.
Okay, fine. Change the subject. Let's talk about happier times. What about the first time we met, when I rocked your world?
Oh, no. I think it was the other way around.
No. I remember it vividly. I gave you a hot bath. I scrubbed every inch of your body. Then when you came out of the shower, I rubbed warm oil on your feet.
Stop it. See, you never did play fair.
I'm not playing, Kyle. You know, I did what I did because I don't think we should be forced into living a lie, into pretending to be somebody that we're not. I like being who I am, and I'm not going to apologize to anybody for it. Not to you, not to Minister Farrakhan, not anybody on this bus. You're always worried about what this person's going to say and what that person's going to think. If you decide that you don't want to be with me anymore, that you don't want this lifestyle anymore, I can live with that. But do it because that's what you want, not because that's what people want for you. If anything, be a man about it.
Well, you're right, Randall. I am going to be a man about it. I am as gay as the Nile is long, brother. I know that now more than ever, and you helped me with that. I also know that I don't want to be your lover anymore, period. But that doesn't mean I don't want to be your friend. Right?
I'd like that.
Harry Lennox played Randall in that movie, and of course Isaiah Washington played Kyle, and there's a conversation on the bus between Kyle and Randall. It is hard, Isaiah Washington, for me to sit here and hear that all these years later and to know that that scene was from 25 years ago. What do you hear when you hear it?
I hear the truth. I hear the unfortunate tonality of it all. Is that homophobia, if indeed that is a word, but bigotry towards difference is still an issue 25 years later, particularly in our community, in most communities. That was a groundbreaking film, a groundbreaking role. Most of the dialogue I wrote myself because I had just read the book by James Hardy, James Earl Hardy, called B-Boy Blues. Mm-hmm. And I was very impressed and enthralled and intrigued that most of the hip-hop members back in the 90s, most of them were on the down low. And also, I had run into an old friend named Richard Burt, who was a part of the New York Police Department, but he was a military friend of mine. And he was on a sting operation in the Bronx. And he, to this day, did a documentary saying that he was set up. He lost two fingers, was shot, and left for dead by his own partners, primarily because he was gay. So this was a shout out to Richard Burt, my friend back in Brooklyn, New York, to say that what is it when a black man has three strikes against him? You're black, you're gay, and you're talented. You're a threat.
Mm-hmm.
I had never had that kind of conversation with anyone before. So unfortunately, even today, we still have all these strikes against us. And it seems like we're the only people that seems to be constantly on some form of threat.
Mm-hmm. I mentioned a moment ago in the introduction that you received all kinds of pushback. I remember people on talk radio, of all places, talk radio and in every other space, passing judgment and making comments about what playing that character Kyle would do to your career. You recall that?
Absolutely. I'm going to put my hand on this Bible.
Yes, there's a Bible in front of you. Yes.
It says, everything I say here is the truth. Nothing but the truth.
The whole truth.
And the whole truth and nothing but the truth, so help me God.
Okay.
I was stunned that I heard on the radio our fearless leader at the time, Al Sharpton, say, well, another prince has bit the dust. He's playing the F word. Now, back then, you could say the word.
Mm-hmm.
It's the F word today, but then it wasn't 25 years ago. I lived in Brooklyn, Travis, in Fort Greene, Brooklyn.
I like Fort Greene.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And there was a place called Brooklyn Brooklyn Moon Cafe,
mm-hmm.
where I used to frequent all the time. When this movie came out, and after he had said that, every African-American woman just got up and left. It's like I had walked in with Ebola. Everywhere I went, I was treated. I had no idea that the hatred for gay men in our own community was as extreme as it was. It was mind-blowing, absolutely mind-blowing. And hurtful. And I even had an agent tell me that it's probably going to be very difficult for me to get any work. And seeing that my hair was tinted red, I kept my locks, they thought it would be a good idea that I maybe pick up a British accent and pretend I was from Africa. And then maybe people would forgive me for playing a gay character. Now, I did it because I thought it was a good idea. I did it because I was personally tired of looking at the stereotypes. And Die Hard from years. Every black man I saw that's supposed to be gay were very effeminate or rolling their eyes or very stereotypical, harking back to blackface. So I said, I was fired, actually. Spike Lee fired me. Ruben Canning called me and begged me to come back because Spike said to be gay is to be bespectacled, wearing an Argyle sweater and some penny loafers. And I said, Spike, that's not gay.
So you and Spike had arguments about the character even?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. I went home. I jumped in my hoopty, my whip, and I went home. Ruben begged me to come back.
Hold that thought. This is radio, so you know how this works, right? Right. I'm not surprised that somebody had an argument with Spike. I'm not surprised to hear that at all. But I want to hear more about the fight between you and Spike and how you were convinced to come back on set or back on the bus, as it were.
Right.
We're talking with Isaiah Washington on KBLA Talk 1580.
We've got a lot to talk about.
Good thing we've got 3 hours.
More of Tavis Smiley when we come forward.
The City of Inglewood will host a free document shredding event on Saturday, November 6th from 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. Document shredding service is for Inglewood residents only, and there's a maximum of 3 boxes or bags per vehicle. ID is required. This event is on a first-come, first-served basis, and it will conclude once all shredding trucks have reached capacity. To comply with L.A. County guidelines, this will be a no-contact drive-through drop-off event. Shredding material must be placed in the trunk or rear of vehicle for removal. So gather your shredding material and join us for a free document shredding event Saturday, November 6th from 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. Again, this will be a no-contact drive-through drop-off only event. The event will conclude once all trucks have reached their capacity. The event will be located on Gravilla Avenue in front of Inglewood High School. This event is brought to you by the City of Inglewood, Reduce, Reuse, Recycle, and Consolidated Disposal Service. For more information, please call 310-412-5333. That's 310-412-5333.
Live from Los Angeles, Sunday, November 7th, RDMJ Soulful Sundays Live in SNS Chicago present The SNS Experience, Steve Shirley's Birthday Bash, featuring Steve Peniston. By Ten City. Steve Sue Curley. David Harness. DJ Skip. Mike Hitman Wilson and Sean Christopher. Mellow Man Ace. Carrie Lucas. Carolyn Griffey. Lee Farmer. Randall Dean. DJ 3J. David Sabat. Derek Wise. And special surprise guests you don't want to miss. This event will be hosted by MDoc and George Daniels. Sunday, November 7th, 9 p.m. to 4 a.m. at the Globe Theater. 740 Broadway in downtown L.A. Tickets are available at evenbright.com and ctickets.us. Do you remember?
Get Macy's lowest prices of the season on great fall specials, like glamorous diamond pendants and earrings to complete any look. Now 60% off. And get ready for cooler nights ahead with 65% off Charter Club Damask sheets and bedding, now at Macy's. Plus, get your Macy's order faster when you pick up curbside or in-store. Or try same-day delivery powered by DoorDash. Savings off sale and clearance prices. Exclusions apply.
With Early Paycheck, you can get your direct deposit up to 2 days earlier. That's another reason banking with Capital One is the easiest decision ever. Even easier than deciding to open the biggest birthday gift first.
Happy birthday to you.
Which one are you going to open first?
The pony!
Yep, even easier than that. Plus, with no fees or minimums on checking and savings accounts, is banking with Capital One even a decision? That's banking reimagined. What's in your wallet?
See CapitalOne.com/bank for details. No fees or minimums on new consumer accounts. Capital One and a member FDIC.
KBLA Talk 1580. Unapologetically progressive radio. Black owned and operated from the heart of Leimert Park, USA. From the heart of Leimert Park, USA. We're listening and the convo continues right now. Right now.
I'm Tavis Smiley. He's Isaiah Washington. We're talking in this hour about the career. It is a career conversation with Isaiah Washington. I know that track is not from Get on the Bus. For those of you who know music like I do, but it's from Love Jones, and that's why I played it.
Got a story for that as well.
I will get to that. Love Jones, one of my favorite films in which Isaiah Washington starred, and I love this track from Dion Ferris. Love this song. And we'll talk about the many films that Isaiah Washington has appeared in the course of this hour, but we're talking now about Get on the Bus. Believe it or not, that film was made 25 years ago. Spike has done some remarkable work. That was done 25 years ago. And Isaiah Washington, of course, played a gay, let me get this right, a gay Republican Hindu character.
I wrote that in.
Yeah, all of that was in there at the same time.
I wrote that in intentionally to provoke thought. Mm-hmm. I knew then that it was going to take about 20 or 25 years for people to really understand it.
Right.
I've always been ahead of storytelling about 10 years. I've always felt that I've always been ahead of this place called Hollywood.
Mm-hmm.
So when I fought for that image, I was working on three levels, kind of like Spock playing three levels of chess.
Mm-hmm.
I wanted the image of my reddish colored hair and my locks, my natural hair, to be significant at that point because I had hoped to redo Ten Commandments
mm-hmm.
and play John.
Mm.
And that is how real people looked at that period.
Right.
So images and pictures are everything. Very powerful.
But what did Spike not get, though, and what led to the argument?
I didn't tell him that. He didn't get that a gay man would be in Timberland boots,
mm-hmm.
jeans, and a motorcycle jacket. That wasn't gay to him.
Yeah, I got it.
And he certainly couldn't be a Marine and could fight. I put all that in there.
Right.
And a Republican and Hindu. I put all of those things in there. Okay? Not knowing that I would be a Republican maybe 25 years later.
Yeah. we're going to get to that in this hour, too. We will get to your politics in this hour as well. Yeah.
So I always, everything I do, my activism has been in my work.
Mm-hmm.
And I've always understood that that medium, television particularly, and movies at that time, was and radio, is the most powerful platforms and mediums in the world to mm-hmm. reach your audience.
Yeah.
And I knew then that, okay, even though people may not get it, there's something that needs to be said from my point of view mm-hmm. as a black man.
Yeah.
No matter what it is, you can never separate me from being a black man. And that was my shout out to gay black men. That wasn't a stereotypical effeminate and men on film that was really funny to laugh at with David Letterman.
In Living Color. Before I don't want to get ahead of myself. Let me ask a quick question. Absolutely. Just a quick question here. 25 years since Get on the Bus, since you played this black, gay, Hindu, Republican character, Kyle, do you have any regrets now having played that character?
No, I think the thing that hurt at the time was having people like Al Sharpton and black people treat me like a pariah 25 years ago. And then people actually say that you'll never work again. I couldn't understand that. I couldn't understand as an artist, as an actor, what do you mean I can't do that? I mean, I watched Anthony Hopkins years later play Richard Nixon. You should be able to come in and do whatever you want. So no, I have no regrets. Actually, I think it's thrilling that we're talking about it 25 years and people are discovering it. But I think it's also saddening that the needle hasn't moved mm-hmm. for black men in America mm-hmm. when it turns to bigotry.
So the needle moved for you. I'll take that phrase and carry it on. Mm-hmm. The needle moved for you because 25 years ago was Get on the Bus. Fast forward in your life, 10 years, you're on Grey's Anatomy.
That's right.
You're playing Dr. Burke.
Yes.
Something happens on the set.
Yes.
And the next thing we all know, you're all in the media being called a homophobe.
Yes.
And let me just, before I do that, you said earlier in this first segment, you used the word homophobe, but you said, if indeed that is a word. What do you mean by that?
I don't think it's a word. I think it's an agenda.
Okay.
And it was an agenda for a group of people that didn't have our best interest at heart. What I mean by that, eventually after Grey's Anatomy, I was the first African American to actually desegregate the no hate movement and put tape over my mouth. Because I kept telling people, it's like, I see what you're doing. You're using me as a scapegoat because you're really angry about what the NAACP did to Michael Richards, if you can remember.
I do remember.
He actually said the word and actually attacked the people who was paying him to make them laugh.
At the comedy club, yeah, sure.
Also, Mel Gibson, I think. Mm-hmm. So you had a trifecta at the time. It was easy. I didn't know that it would stick to me so hard, but I found out why. It was an agenda to cover up for the toxic and bad behavior of many of my former castmates on that show. And the top of that person would have been Patrick Dempsey.
Yeah.
He was called Pilot Poison. No one wanted him on that show. They wanted Rob Lowe. I was supposed to be like a Ben Carson kind of character on that. I had my locks, I had my afro and my goatee that everybody was known for because I wanted to prove the point, like, what does our intellect have to do with our hair? We could still be brilliant, still be surgeons and living single, anesthesiologists, Bullworth. I love Jones. In fact, when I got to set Love Jones, a producer, Jeremiah Samuels, came into my trailer, unannounced, locked the door behind him with clippers and says, I need to cut your hair, boy. I said, excuse me? He says, Isaiah, I need to cut your hair before you go on set. I was like, man, did you pack a lunch? He says, what do you mean? He says, because if you don't get out of my trailer with those clippers in your hand, that you're going to shorn my hair like I'm your slave or some sheep. We're going to be in here tussling for a long time. Did you bring a lunch? And I said, if I could either get on a plane and go home, because Ted Richard told me he had no issues with my hair, my locks. I'm trying to make a point here for my people 20 years from now. That has not your issue. We have a hair issue. We have a colorism issue. And this is my way that I'm going to actively address these issues. Mm. So you need to get out of my way, get out of the trailer. And this is all of it. Now I just find out colorism and hair is still an issue, even 25 years later.
Yeah, no doubt about it, still. Maybe even more so these days.
Yeah.
Let me get back to Grey's Anatomy. So you know, you're on Grey's Anatomy. You're playing this character.
I was never wanted.
Yeah, you're killing it in the ratings.
Yeah.
What happened?
I was never wanted. Imagine on day one of the table read, I was never wanted there.
Wait, hold up. Shonda Rhimes, a sister, is running the show.
Yeah.
How can you say you weren't wanted? She's running.
I was never wanted for various reasons. I was too dark-skinned. And at the time, you're talking 2005, there was no Obama yet.
But if you weren't wanted, why did Shonda Rhimes put you there?
Okay. I originally went in to be Dr. Shepard, the mm-hmm. brain surgeon. Walked into the room. I was paid $10,000 not to take the audition. But do any television. I took the money. And then I found out at ICM that I was going to do the audition. When I read that script called The Surgeons, I said, I don't care what Hollywood is putting out for me, my last role, I'm thrown in a dumpster. My character's thrown in a dumpster, Hollywood Homicide. I'm not getting paid any more money, and my brand is being literally destroyed. I need to find something where I can play the highest part of my intellect and build my brand. This is going to be the role. Went in, had a great reading, didn't know who Shonda Rhimes was. I demanded that I read with her. I read with her. Got called back, read with Ellen Pompeo.
Mm-hmm.
She made the executive decision that because she had a black boyfriend, you know, she didn't feel comfortable. Now, she said that to me at catering once I was actually on the show as Dr. Burke. I was passed over. It was over. I got a call as I was on my way to an NBC audition for another show. And my agent, Ben Press, called me and said, "Do you still want to be a doctor?" And I said, "Absolutely. I'll play the dirt on the floor. That woman's an incredible writer. She's our Lorraine Hansberry."
Mm-hmm.
That was on a Wednesday. On a Saturday, I was at the table read. Peter Horton, blonde and blue-eyed, formerly of 30-something, came over to me rolling a rubber band in his hand and says, "I thought we got rid of you." And I said, "Excuse me?" Patrick Dempsey walks in, didn't think I could see him with a reflection, throws up his hands like, "What is he doing here?" That's day one. Now, I've cut my goatee, I've cut my afro off. I look like the guy from Dancing in September. Same glasses, everything. Clean cut. Shonda comes in, screaming at me on day one, "What did you effing do?" Betsy Beers, who called me, Caucasian woman, called me the night before at 10 o'clock. "I hear there's a thing you have with your hair. Would you have a problem actually getting a haircut and shaving your beard?" Now, this is an opportunity to play an incredible character. I'm getting a second chance.
Mm-hmm.
I called my barber. He got to my condo at about 12 midnight. And I'm getting a haircut and I'm shaving this goatee off because now I can play a very strong, powerful, beautiful male. The height of my intellect, who's in charge, who's in power. So I'm thinking, this is a positive. She comes behind Shonda, and I'm getting ready to say something, and she looks at me and puts her finger up to her lips, like, "Don't say anything," mm-hmm, to Shonda. So, you know, people say things end where they start. It began in subterfuge.
Yeah. So I take your point now. They didn't want you from day one, given the story you've just told.
Yeah.
What happens on this day that leads to you being called homophobic 10 years after you played a gay character?
Let's get into that. Well, at this point, we've had many. I was the highest paid person. I was the highest paid person on that show next to Patrick Dempsey. Apparently, you know, it got out. So there was a lot of resentment. And I understand that. But it was based on my quote. It was my quote. It's based on my resume. I can't help that. So, you know, every day I called the Santa Clarita gang at the point. They weren't used to, you know, lighting. Black people. There was three black people on the show. Jim Pickens, me, Shonda Wilson. We went through three crews because Mark Pedowitz, all right, who actually ended up hiring me for his show, or once he was the one that was forced to put me out, ended up putting me on his show the 105 years later in 2013. He fired three different crews and said, "Look, I got three black people on this show. I want to see them." They didn't know how to light us.
Mm-hmm.
So we cut two. Me just navigating that. So every time I knew my angles, I knew the filters, I was an uppity Negro. Keep your mouth shut. Don't tell us how to light. Don't tell us anything. Every single day, I was a problem. Be reminded, you're number four in the call sheet. You're not the star of this show. And I'm just giving wisdom. So we cut forward to doing a show under the scrutiny of season one. Everybody's talking about Nick Dreamy, Patrick Dempsey. But this stress is really getting to Patrick because he has a very colorful, checkered background. Domestic violence, alcoholism, fights. He was called pilot poison. He was not a nice guy from day one. But he liked me. And once I had a conversation with him, he said, "I said, do you know that white men are the masters of the universe?" And I said, "You really believe that?" He says, "Absolutely." And I said, "I can understand why you would think that. But you really believe that all white men are the masters of the universe?" He got up and walked away. This is in Seattle. We're having the drinks, parties. And he says, "Let's go to bed." I said, "It's time to go to bed." "No, you don't tell me what to do." The next morning, we get up at 4 o'clock in the morning. He is 6 hours late. I'm furious now. We get to the set, now almost 8 hours behind schedule, and then he leaves 4 hours earlier. That is what started this simmering of disrespect. "I can't do what you do, white man." And if we show up four hours late, that's going to be a really bad thing on me. Now, that happened on a Friday. Mm-hmm. Saturday, I was asked to sign like an affidavit in an email to get rid of Patrick. I said, "No, he has great hair. He's the white guy. He goes nowhere." that Monday, he's late. And instead of apologizing for it, he never apologized for coming late. He got in my face, assaulted me 3 times physically. I did what I had to do as a man. And that was the rest of history. And I cussed him out. You're not going to punk me. You're not going to treat me like a B word. And you're not going to treat me, you know, like an F word.
Did you call him a homophobic slur?
No. I was speaking to myself as a schoolyard taunt, mm-hmm. like, and weakness, talking over myself. But I had already heard the abuse that he threw Kate Walsh through a window out of anger. He terrorized TR. And the only reason TR's name was in that sentence is that I'm not TR. If you continue to treat me this way, I will kick your ass.
But you did not call him a homophobic slur. That's your statement.
No, I said that on Larry King. Okay. No, TR wasn't even in the room. I never referred to him that.
Hold that thought. After news and traffic, we'll continue. No. Because if you did not call him homophobic slur, then you got to explain to me and the audience what you acknowledged then, what you apologized for, and why we were told you went to rehab. Hold that thought. We'll get right to you, I promise. He's ready to go. if you didn't say nothing, then why did you apologize? Why did you go to rehab? That's what I want to hear and more with Isaiah Washington after news and traffic here on KBLA Talk 1580.
You're going to get it.
Be sure to follow and subscribe to all our socials at KBLA Talk 1580 on Facebook, Twitter, and IG. Stay in touch with us by downloading the all-new KBLA Talk 1580 app on your smartphone. Carry the convo wherever you go. And keep it locked to the only talk station that gives you a voice. KBLA Talk 1580. We've got a lot to talk about.
I'm Mike Island, and here's the latest from the Black Information Network. The fight over voting rights may not be over. Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer made a last-minute move yesterday so the bill could be considered in the future. Republicans blocked it as expected, leaving Democrats 10 votes short to start debate. Arrests on the U.S.-Mexico border are reportedly at a record high. The Washington Post says over 1.7 million illegal immigrants were apprehended during the fiscal year that ended on September 30th. Over 200,000 migrants were taken into custody during July and August. Weekly jobless claims are down. The Labor Department reports 290,000 Americans filed first-time claims for unemployment benefits last week. That's 600,000 fewer than the previous week's revised total. And that's the latest. I'm Mike Island from your 24/7 news source, the Black Information Network, and BINnews.com.
Encino wreck as you travel in the valley. It's going to be Encino where we have a problem on the 101 East at Haskell. Trying to clear a crash from traffic lanes loaded up from Winnetka. Sylmar, troubles on the south side of the 5 approaching that 405. Carpool lane blocked with a collision. That tough drive as far back as the 14. North Hollywood trying to clear troubles on the 170 South as you get to the 101, 134. Wreck to the right side. Come away from Oxnard Street, the busy drive. Carson, troubles on that 405 North. North 405 as you approach the 110. A wreck in the clearing stages, but right around Avalon Boulevard is where it gets busy.
Help DEA keep our community safe and healthy by participating in National Prescription Drug Takeback Day, October 23rd. Find a collection site near you at DEATakeback.com. Do your part to lower overdose deaths and prevent drug misuse before it starts.
Financial independence, a legacy for your children, and a career that impacts your community. Hi, I'm Bryce Flewellen, Executive Director of Social Equity Franchising for Every Table, a mission-driven food concept that's making fresh, nutritious food accessible and affordable to all. What if I told you that you could own your own franchise with zero out-of-pocket costs, no capital or monetary investment, paid training with benefits, and even free meals while you work? If you've ever dreamt of owning your own business or have aspirations of being a hands-on owner and operator, I want to hear from you. Every Table is accepting applications for our training and development program, Every Table University, right now. Visit everytable.com/university to learn more or email franchise@everytable.com. If you have 1 to 2 years of experience in food or hospitality and a passion for entrepreneurship, you can own your own Every Table franchise. It's not too good to be true. Email franchise@everytable.com and jumpstart your dream now. I can't wait to hear from you. Apply today to Every Table University.
One of the greatest powers the people of California have is to elect their own representatives in government. How state districts are drawn can make the difference between empowering and maximizing a community's voice or minimizing and muting those voices. In most other states, politicians draw the lines. California's Citizens Redistricting Commission was created to redraw the maps for Congress, State Senate, Assembly, and Board of Equalization, but we need your help to do it. Visit WeDrawTheLineCA.org to tell us about your community and draw your own maps. By participating in California's redistricting process, you can help create districts that are fair and equitable. You may be able to elect candidates of your choice and have a voice in decisions such as the quality and funding of your child's education or your tax rates. Join the discussion. Visit WeDrawTheLineCA.org to provide input, because everything is on the lines.
While on the air with our show, before you go, here on KBLA Talk 1580, I'm drinking a delicious cup of Mutombo coffee. Mmm, delicious. Well, NBA Hall of Famer Dikembe Mutombo grows his Mutombo African coffee on sustainable farms in the Democratic Republic of Congo. Every purchase of these coffee beans supports women farmers. So before you go, enjoy a delicious coffee break with Mutombo coffee.
The shift from warm days to cooler and cozier ones just makes you want to switch up your look. Luckily, Ulta Beauty's Gorgeous Hair event is happening now, so you can discover your best hair this fall. Get up to 50% off hair care essentials from your favorite brands like Briogeo and Revlon, and restore your hair with incredible deals on shampoo and conditioner pairs from brands like Redken. So don't miss out. This event ends October 23rd. Shop in-store, online, or try curbside pickup today. Ulta Beauty. The possibilities are beautiful.
You're always up for some fun with the family, so you order the essentials, a new board game, some baking supplies, and even a new projector for outdoor movie night. And with the Bank of America Customized Cash Rewards credit card, you can choose to earn 3% cash back on online shopping, which could increase to up to 5.25% as a preferred rewards member. Rewards which you can put toward an extra treat that everyone will enjoy, like an old-fashioned popcorn machine. Visit bankofamerica.com/more rewarding and apply now. Copyright 2021 Bank of America Corporation.
Broadcasting live from Lamar Park, USA. Welcome back to your home for unapologetically progressive radio. KBLA Talk 1580.
To me, what would you say to have your way? Would you give up or try again if I hesitate?
Aaliyah is gone way too soon. 20 years since the death of Aaliyah on that plane crash in the Bahamas. But she did some brilliant work while she was here. And many of us love that film, Romeo Must Die, one of the other vehicles that has showcased the brilliant thespian talent of our guest in this hour, Isaiah Washington. He's been in so many great films, again, including Romeo Must Die. So, we were saying before the break, Mr. Washington, that for some reason you were labeled homophobic. I want to know two things. Why you were labeled homophobic if you didn't call anybody a homophobic slur, and what the apology and the rehab that we've read about was all about, if it never happened.
Well, it was a cover for Patrick Dempsey. He had a movie called Enchantment that was coming out. When the story changed, when the story broke, Patrick realized that he had accosted me. Let's go back to that moment. I even talked to Carmen Smith, said it's vagina, the vagina squad, Orca, Oprah, all these. He was very disrespectful. So I'm going to handle this guy as a man now. Jim Pickens runs me off the set. We come back in. Jim Pickens comes into a side room along with Ron Curran, and he says, "You tried to punk him, Patrick. You tried to punk him. All right? I was there. Okay? If you had done that to me, I would have done the same thing to you and effing worse." Finally, Patrick calmed down. We both go out. We apologize. He says, "Well, Isaiah's jealous of me." I said, "Dude, I don't think about you. I got a brand new daughter. I got a foundation. I don't have time to think about you. I don't even work with you that much. Well, this is projection. Like, you're the hair on the show. The reason you're upset is because I said I can act. I don't have to wait on Ellen. I can act. Let's pretend. If she's late, we don't have to. We're going into triple golden here. We're wasting money. I've always been a team player in business." So we went and apologized. He looked at me and he says, "What's missing?" I said, "What are you talking about?" Well, T.R. Knight was supposed to be in the latter part of the scene. He says, "Look around. What's missing?" I said, "What are you talking about?" So we took off like Miami Vice, Crockett and Tubbs. We run to the flagpole. That's where Shonda's office is. We run in there. He just blows through because he's a white guy. I got to wait. They said, no, you can't go in. You can't go in. But he could. Mm-hmm. He comes back out. He throws his hands up. He says, "It's a mess." I said, "What are you talking about?" He says, "You'll hear about it." He goes in. TR is now in there crying, saying that the whole argument, he wasn't even on the set. The argument, they've tamed the narrative because what they were trying to do is get Patrick fired and get me fired so Kathy Heigl and TR could be the stars of the show. So he lied. And he stuck with that lie when he went on Ellen DeGeneres. So they changed the narrative. It went from us having a brawl, which never was a brawl, to me saying something about TR. And the day I left, the last day I shot, Patrick said, dude, you think you got it bad. You got to go down in history being a homophobe. I got to go down in history saving the gay guy. He was no remorse, a total tyrant. But before that, everything, they saw it as an opportunity to say, we're going to throw all this on a mea culpa. The first time I agreed to something, never did look up a word. I didn't know what mea culpa meant, and I was gagged at the Golden Globes. Now, that I regret. I should have never used the word that I had been accused of using for 3 months prior because the narrative changed, and then it got stuck on me. I didn't apologize. Peter Nelson, my attorney, coerced me into that because I was threatened for a $5 million lawsuit if I said another word. But nobody else was gagged. Katie Heigl wasn't gagged.
But you're such a man of integrity, Isaiah. If you didn't say it, why apologize?
Because
just say I didn't say it.
No. I didn't. No. When I said it to the Golden Globes, I had two petitions coming at me to get me off the show. Paris, Hilton, everybody. I told the truth. I didn't call TR that. Mm-hmm. But the context was, it doesn't matter because you said TR, you called them that before the world. It had nothing to do with what I said on the set. He wasn't on the set. Mm-hmm. They lied. I never was talking about him. I was defending him against this tyrant. But when I used the word on Golden Globes, then everybody could say, okay, well, he must have said it on the set, and he must have said it to TR because he just now called it. Mm-hmm. Not. Well, I told the truth. It just wasn't the right time to tell the truth. Mm-hmm. But at that time, I had been drinking. My mother was having aneurysm, the pressure. I've got partitions to get me out of my job. I got Perez Hilton attacking me. I wanted it to all go away. So they said, go talk to Glad, talk to Glisten, do a PSA. You'll get your $5 million. So, yeah, my integrity was, well, I want to keep my job. Mm-hmm. So I signed off on that nonsense. That made it look like what I was signing off on when I talked to William Briggs, my attorney, and Martin Singer, is that once you apologize, you are admitting the guilt.
Yeah.
That was my mistake.
In retrospect, how do you see these? How do you see yourself back then balancing these two things? You're holding on to your integrity on the one hand, but trying to keep your job on the other hand. How do you see that now?
But when you're asleep at the wheel and you're drinking, all the truth comes out. I sabotaged it. Right. There was no way I was going to accept the $5 million deal or stay on that show knowing that I played a gay man. I have the world thinking that I actually attacked this man, that I said this, and being covered with the Iron Curtain of Disney and get this money and do this job. So I had my friend was talking about Norrell, who dropped me off at the house in Corona Del Mar for my executive counseling that I had to pay half for. What it was is I was being sequestered.
So the executive counseling, they called it executive counseling.
Yeah.
In the media, it played out as rehab. Isaiah Washington has apologized.
Sean Jewell Wilson.
Yeah, Isaiah Washington has apologized, and now he's in rehab. What was that about?
I'm sitting there with a gay psychiatrist, a gay psychologist, a gay a masseuse, a gay chef
right.
in a house in Corona Del Mar that my friend here in the studio, Norrell Walker, dropped me off. I paid half of the bill. It's executive counseling. She said as I was texting her on the SAG Awards, she said, oh, thank you for the win. Thank you for this. Thank you for that. And, oh, also a shout out to the guy that's in rehab. Boom. Another angle to bury me.
So let me, before I forget.
She used the word rehab.
Yeah, right. So they made you go to rehab in air quotes.
No.
Yeah.
It's executive counseling.
It's executive counseling. I get it.
Shonda Wilson said rehab.
Rehab, I got it.
Why? Because she was stuck and nervous. James Pickens was there. He saw what happened. He refused to tell the human resources. Suddenly he had became Reagan. He couldn't recall what happened because he didn't want to lose his job. And he didn't want to get in trouble with this. They gagged everybody. But, you know, white privilege says you could gag white people. They're not scared of other white people. White people are not afraid of other white people. But black people are afraid of white people with money and power.
And white privilege also says they send you to executive counseling but make you pay half of it.
And made me pay half of it.
Wow.
And everybody in the house was gay.
Yeah.
And then they all asking me, there's nothing wrong with you. In fact, they were trying to get a job with me, and I was going to start a company where we take a Airstream and bring it to the set. He says, everybody's on that set is crazy from what you're telling me. Everybody's on that set is crazy but you, except you and Sandra and Jim and Chandra.
Okay, when we come forward, I want to ask you, and we framed this at the top of the show. Now we're at this point, And when we come forward, I want to hear your exact answer to this question. Yeah. How did you in that moment process that just 10 years prior you had played an iconic gay character and 10 years later you're being called homophobic? Hold that thought. Mm-hmm. I want your answer when we come forward here on KBLA Talk 1580.
Yeah. Be sure to like and follow Tavis Smiley at The Real Tavis Smiley.
And get Twitter updates
at Tavis Smiley. The conversation continues when we come forward.
What's up, LA? What are your thoughts on a zero-fee banking system? Well, it's in the works. Myesha Cairo here with your K-Black Minute, powered by CaliforniaBlackMedia.org. On October 4th, Governor Gavin Newsom signed legislation paving the way for a new public banking system here in California. AB 1177, known as the California Public Banking Option Act, creates a zero penalty, zero fee, and zero minimum balance platform for basic financial services. These services include direct deposit from employers and public benefits, automatic bill pay to registered payees, recurring payments and donation to account holders, organizations, or your charity of choice, and an infrastructure to support account holders in building their credit. What do you think about this? Is this helpful? Should banking be public? Let us know. Hit us up on Twitter at KBLA 1580. We've got a lot to talk about.
The Institute for Diversity Certification is all about the three D's: dedication, determination, and discipline. Learn more about our globally recognized diversity certification program today by calling 1-800-983-6192. Again, 1-800-983-6192, or visit diversitycertification.org. As the number one organization for certified diversity professionals and also certified diversity executive credentials, diversitycertification.org will provide an opportunity for you to demonstrate dedication to the field, determination to make progress, and more discipline to your process. Go today and learn more about the diversity certification system. Call 1-800-983-6192. Again, 1-800-983-6192. Or go to diversitycertification.org. That's diversitycertification.org. The standard of excellence, equity, diversity, and inclusion.
Hi, I'm Nicole Franklin.
And I'm Brian Tamonte.
We're the host of the podcast, Before You Go.
Yes, Before You Go, because there's no time like the present to talk to our guests.
Our 100-year-old guests.
What a gift.
We have 80 and 90-year-olds too, but the older the better, right, Brian?
Oh, yes. Such amazing history.
We've got history on record.
History corrected.
Lots of smiles, and I'd say some redemption as we unearth some deep, dark secrets.
Politics, race, music,
baseball,
from sports to the silver screen. It's such a privilege to hear these incredible stories
from our 100-year-old guests, or as you say, Bryant, those who are just getting up there.
So join us for a rewind in time.
Check out our podcast at beforeyougo.tv.
And listen to us live Saturdays right here on KBLA Talk 1580.
Interrogating your assumptions and expanding your inventory of ideas. Let's get back to Tavis Smiley on KBLA Talk 1580.
All right, Isaiah, so 25 years ago, you were playing a gay, black, Hindu character, Kyle, on Get on the Bus, and people are pushing back on you for playing a gay character. 10 years later, now you're being called homophobic. How did you process all that?
Well, it was overwhelming. I had my dark days. But at the time, I believe what Congresswoman Barbara Lee told me. She says, you need to resign, son. You know, you have a liability case. You've been able to go back to the scene of the crime for 3 months. I was never fired. She says, they're planning to remove you and not pay you. You need to quit or resign. And if they fire you, you get your severance pay. So I would have gotten about 12. I was on 3 years to my contract. So I would have got about $12.5 million. I realized that they brought me back to the scene of the crime because I didn't do anything. You can't, black man can't do what they said I did or say what they said I did and get to go back for 8 months.
Yeah, yeah.
For 8 months. Mm-hmm. They were waiting for my contract to expire. So someone made the executive decision that, hey, we can save $3 million. Forbes had just wrote about how the cast was given $33 million, the highest paid cast in the history of television at that time, next to People and Friends. Had I stayed, they would have had to pay out $36 million. So this was about money and about protecting millions of dollars of the brand of a movie that Patrick Dempsey was in. His domestic violence background, his alcoholism, his behavior could not. Disney don't play that. They couldn't have the controversy. So when I signed the mea culpa, I made the mistake and gave them all the power to put all of it on me and didn't have to go back to work for 8 months.
So when you read, as we have all of late, when you read these stories coming out, and, you know, time has a way of not just healing all wounds, but it has a way of revealing all truths. So now we know from a producer on Grey's Anatomy that Patrick Dempsey, we are told, was a terrorizer. Those are the producer's words, gave everybody on the set PTSD. Ellen Pompeo is bragging publicly about cussing out Denzel Washington one day when he was a director. So we're learning more about the toxicity on that set beyond what they accused you of. Do you feel any sort of vindication now that we're hearing these truths?
No, I will be vindicated when I get my $12.5 million. That's vindication. Now I'm just telling the truth. But Peter Nelson, my attorney at the time, was working. Nobody was going to go against Disney. Even Kim Clayton Harrison, my whistleblower, was fired from ABC, who found out inadvertently, because they thought she was Jewish, over the phone, how I was railroaded and thrown on the bus by Howard Devine. The former executive vice president of business affairs, Howard Devine, orchestrated this entire cover-up. Even as recently as not allowing me to work at ABC on The Catch, when I was already working with a man who was forced to let me go, Mark Pedowitz, for 5 years. This has been an active attack on my brand. And they're making more money off this negativity than I am. And here's the bigger picture is that now Patrick was always a tyrant. Ellen was always ghetto. Always. She, during a scrum, she was mad because Katie and TR and I were getting more attention than her. She was like, she came up to me and said, like, what is this show, Isaiah? What's the name of this show? Because right before the Golden Globe shows, I said, Grey's. And who is Grey's? She was unnerved by it. She couldn't believe that everybody was more interested in me and Sandra and everybody else than her. So I'm not shocked that she said what she says, but she's a roundaway girl from Brookline, Massachusetts. She cusses like a sailor. She really thinks that, you know, she's cool with black people like that, but she's not. She's not. She's never has been. And she took $5 million under the table that I have receipts for through my whistleblower, Kim Clayton Hirschman, took $5 million during the height of the Me Too era to not tell the world how toxic and nasty Patrick Dempsey really was.
Well, you ain't cool with black people when you bragging about cussing out Denzel.
And taking $5 million under the table before you get your $40 million to be silent about it, and you want to run around here like you're the keeper of all feminine women and the feminist movement? No, I want her. I even went after her. I went after her on Twitter about this, the hush money. Variety came, wanted to do a story, and then suddenly it went away. Gloria Allred, before they found out that Kim was black, thought she was Jewish. No one wanted to take our case. Shonda was like, I'm going to sit back and eat some popcorn. I'm going to sit back and let y'all do what y'all do, because this truth has to come out about how we're being treated and undermined by Howard Devine.
Our remaining moments with Isaiah Washington when we come forward here on KBLA Talk 1580.
We know you have options, but thank you for making the best choice. The only station in LA of the people, by the people, for the people. We are unapologetically progressive. KBLA Talk 1580. Stay tuned.
At Hawthorne Auto Square, we pride ourselves on having a pressure-free experience with our 100% guaranteed financing. Whether you have credit challenges, recent repos, SSI, unemployment, or a part-time job, Hawthorne Auto Square can have you driving with no co-signers needed. Hawthorne Auto Square offers a 6-month warranty in your contract with 24/7 roadside assistance, rental car coverage, and much more. Payments starting at under $350 a month. Now that's doable, and you're building your credit. So before making a final decision, give us a call at 866-578-0495 or drive down to Hawthorne Auto Square off the 105 freeway and Prairie. We guarantee approvals. 6 months warranty. Call 866-587-0495. That's 866-587-0495. Hawthorne Auto Square. On approved credit and approved down payment required.
I got the champagne. Everybody's glass. Attention. Attention, business owners, entrepreneurs, and nonprofit owners. KBLA is launching the KBLA Brand Mixer Series, and you're officially invited. Join us Thursday, October 28th for our first mixer at 1010 Wine and Events, Inglewood's first and only wine bar, located at 1010 North La Brea in Inglewood. Join us for an evening of networking with KBLA's brand managers, some of your favorite KBLA on-air hosts, and influencers. Enjoy some amazing wine and win some amazing prizes. That's Thursday, October 28th at 1010 Wine and Events from 6 p.m. to 9 p.m. KBLA is proud to support local businesses, and we can't wait to meet you. Go to KBLA1580.com to register. This event is free and will fill up quickly. That's Thursday, October 28th from 6 p.m. to 9 p.m. at 1010 Wine and Events in Inglewood. Register now at KBLA1580.com. This event is brought to you by 1010 Wine and Events, Medenti Med Spa, and Community Business Management Services.
Life Crypto is a proud sponsor of Before You Go on KBLA Talk 1580. Life Crypto is an innovative payment network and a new kind of money. This digital currency provides a user-friendly Life wallet, which allows for hassle-free transactions and ease of use for those new to crypto. The Life Crypto app not only stores its digital currency known as Life on trading exchanges, it also hosts your favorite non-fungible tokens or NFTs. Life from Life Crypto is a community-run token, and if you're into passive income, who isn't? The Life Crypto app provides staking at 30% APY. Life Crypto is simply for everyone. Visit lifecrypto.life, download your wallet, stake your tokens, and live your life with Life Crypto.
Let's unpack a little bit more with Tavis Smiley. The conversation continues right now.
4 minutes left with Isaiah Washington in this hour. You made a joke actually earlier about the fact when you played this gay Republican character on Get on the Bus, you didn't know that years later you might actually be a Republican. Do you sense that some people are pushing back on you in social media these days because of your Republicanism?
I pretended to be a Republican. I'm a Frederick Douglass Republican without a home. I realized once they took my cherry picked my tweet and said that tried to make it look like I was putting down Obama, that you cherry picked my tweet out of context. I figure, okay, you would do anything to put us at odds, to separate us as a people. Mm-hmm. So I used my cover as a Republican, and I doubled down on it because if you go back and check my tweets, every time they called me a homophobe because I was a Republican and a coon, I would always bring the argument back about the lamestream media and their lies. I would always bring it back to Grey's Anatomy. And what happened to me? If you can make the world believe that a man that everybody loved, that's a billionaire, knew who he was, knew his personality, and then within 4 years make him a monster, you already did it to me. The same playbook. If you go back and look at my tweets, I used the Republican Party and I used Trump to clear my name.
Why do you respond to these folk on social media? Why do you respond because
you have any idea the headlines that I got? Yeah. The problem was every time I turned it back to what happened to me at Grey's Anatomy, it just went away.
But you can't argue with these people, man.
I'm not arguing with the people. Yeah. The people took the headlines, and they talked about everything about what I was saying about Grey's Anatomy. No one wants this story to be broken. No one. Especially Howard Devine and Disney.
I got 2 minutes left. At this point in your career, what is, to the extent you have issues or an issue, what is your issue with Hollywood at this point?
I don't have an issue with Hollywood. I have the issue with people like Howard Devine not being held accountable for being racist and undermining a woman who controlled a night of the week called Thursday and made $2 billion. And see, she still had to run off and go to Netflix and make $100 million when she's worth $1 billion. Mm-hmm. I have issues with not Hollywood, which is a place. I have issues with the systemic racism in terms of pay equality. It's that you'll let Caucasian people get away literally with murder, literally with rape, and the Harvey Weinsteins of the world, but yet you find all kinds of ways. You will spend $1 million to keep paying me $500,000. I have a problem with the executives of business affairs that use our race as leverage to lowball us and keep us out of building our generational wealth. That's the problem I have.
And excuse me, you choked me up on that one. and there you have it. We will leave it there. Our 1 hour conversation with Isaiah Washington, as I said at the top, I'm not sure I knew what happened all those years ago. I think I get it now. After this conversation, I think I understand what really happened all those years ago. Isaiah's latest project, his latest film project, is called God's Not Dead, We the People. I encourage you to check it out. Isaiah, I am grateful. I know that after all these years, you did not have to sit for this conversation. You didn't have to answer these direct and tough questions. But I thank you for doing it, my friend.
Well, you know, there's a something that is really special to me. It's called Isaiah 51:16. I will give you the words I want you to say. I will cover you with my hands and protect you. I made the heavens and the earth, and I say to Jerusalem, you are my people. I love my people even when my black people are told not to love me. And that is never going to change. And what you're going to do is pay me.
What you got to do is respect a guy named Isaiah who's quoting from the book of Isaiah. I ain't mad at you. That's how you close the show. Isaiah quoting Isaiah. I'm out of here. Time for Middays with Danny Morrison. I'm Tavis Smiley. Until tomorrow morning, thanks for watching. And as always, thanks for listening, I should say. And as always, keep the faith.
Praise God.
KBLA 1580 Santa Monica.
I'm Alexandria Iacomoni, and here's the latest from the Black Information Network. Millions of Americans are waiting on the CDC to decide if Moderna and Johnson & Johnson boosters should be recommended. An advisory panel will consider another dose from the two, then it'll be up to the CDC director to sign off on recommendations. That could happen by tomorrow. R. Kelly is set to go on trial in the federal criminal case in Chicago next summer. A judge set an August trial date. The hearing was held more than 3 weeks after a jury convicted the singer in a separate racketeering case in Brooklyn's federal court. In Chicago, Kelly is facing charges of child pornography and obstruction of justice. There's also a separate aggravated criminal sexual abuse charge in Cook County, Illinois. Chris Brown is sticking up for Kyrie Irving and his anti-vaccine stance. Chris called Kyrie a real hero for refusing to get the shot. The news comes after Chance the Rapper also showed his support last week for Irving.